Welcome back as we kick off hour number two of the program. Going to look at some of these NFL college coaches that have done both and then get a fresh start at another university. But first, listen up, football fans. We've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's with the same game parlay bet in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. It's my favorite round of the playoffs. You got all the top seeds playing, and you've got the two full games on Saturday and Sunday, a full weekend of NFL football, and you can bet it all at the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and definitely take advantage of the same game parlay. You can stack those bets together all in the same game, and right now, FanDuel's even letting you protect your parlay. That's right. Place a three-plus same-game parlay, three-plus leg same-game parlay, and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. The playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. They've got a range of betting options with player props, futures. You can find whatever bet you're looking for, and the odds boost are always really good on FanDuel as well. They've got them every day and some big super boost each weekend. So check them out as we head into the NFL playoffs tomorrow. It's easy to place your bet fast during the game, too, with their live betting on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. We love it. We've been using it all football season. You will, too. If you haven't signed up yet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're on Android, you can go to sportsbook.fanduel.com on an Apple or on an iPhone. It's in the Apple Play Store. Use our promo code 3OUT so they know we sent you. That's 3OUT. It's the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 7 days after receipt. Max refund, $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, Houston, we're looking at some of these NFL guys. NFL divisional round tomorrow. Guys that have gone, you're looking specifically for guys that have been in college, gone to the NFL, gone back to college, and not guys that are like college football geniuses that have always had success and just flamed out in the NFL, but just, you're just looking for a comp, a comparable coach to Doug Marrone.
Yeah.
That then just figured it out and won big once they got back. Herm Edwards is the first guy that came to mind for me. Obviously, he doesn't fit the going and coming back thing. He was kind of an NFL lifer before getting into kind of taking the got fired TV break and then making his head coaching return to college football. Herm was with the Jets from 2001 to 2005. They were actually pretty good 3 out of his first 4 years making the playoffs. Then he went 4-12 and got fired. He went to Kansas City, where they made the playoffs once, and then 4-12, 2-14 in the AFC West. And then after a TV stint for 10 years, he resurfaced at Arizona State, where he went 7-6, 5-4 in the Pac-12, then 8-5, 4-5 in the Pac-12, and they went 2-2
this year,
this past season.
Butch Davis started his head coaching career in Miami in 1995. Mentioned Doug Marrone's head coaching record in college at Syracuse was 25-25. In 6 seasons at Miami, Butch Davis went 51-20. Then he went to the Browns in 2001. 4 seasons with the Browns, he went 24-35.
He got them in the playoffs, though, right?
Yes. They lost to Pittsburgh in the AFC wild card game in 2002 after a 9-7 season. He then went back to, did he go straight to North? Yeah, North Carolina, where he went, well, there's some vacated games here.
Right, right. His, they're cheating their ass off with the fake college thing.
12-23 is his record at North Carolina. He then went to FIU in 2017 after a, I guess, a couple years off. Maybe the NCAA told him wait a little bit. FIU, the last 4 seasons, 8-5, 9-4, 6-7, and 0-5 this last year. Again, not saying he's on a hot board, just trying to compare to Doug Marrone. So, Butch Davis, 0-5. Doug Marrone, 1-15. Butch Davis is 69 years old. How old did I say Doug Marrone was?
I don't remember, but he is 56.
Okay. I saw a lot of Greg Schiano mentions, a guy who was, I think, one game below 500 in college. And then I think he was right at 500 in the NFL. Now the head coach at Rutgers.
Yep.
Someone said, forgive me, I can't remember where I saw it, that Doug Marrone is basically Greg Schiano minus the Penn State stuff. And Gracci said earlier that former players love Doug Marrone. I have not found any. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I just have not been able to find former players raving about Doug Marrone. In fact, when he first got the head gig in Jacksonville, apparently he made a lot of sweeping changes and the players didn't like it too much. Big Josh tweets in and says, Bill Callahan, Nebraska?
All of these guys you bring up are just like, eh.
I know.
Eh.
I know. You know, we talk all the time about wanting to be on kind of the cutting edge.
Right.
And this is not the cutting edge.
No.
This is guys who the game appears to have passed them by.
Oh, so they fit right in with Fulmer.
Oh. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
I mean, I get it.
If you
want to just bring somebody in who knows how to run a program, I'm not saying Doug Marrone doesn't know how to run a program. He's been a head coach before. Maybe he does. Maybe he can run. Can he win? Like, if you go and get him, you know, the best offensive coordinator in the world, like, could it work? I don't know. Maybe.
Well, if Kevin Still is a DC.
Which is a top four DC, according to Adam McClintock. Like, statistically, Kevin Still is a really good defensive coordinator. You know, you put some good recruiters around a guy like Doug. I'm just saying it's possible he could have success if he hires the right coordinator.
You started talking about that, and I thought you were going to take it a different way. I thought you were going to say, if you're just trying to get somebody that'll just be stable for a little bit and not be a complete buffoon, maybe it's not that bad of an idea. But I just go back to, this is freaking Tennessee. If we mentioned it the other day, we're still top 10 in all-time wins. If you think you're a top 10 blue-blooded program, which I would think that Philip Fulmer out of anyone would consider it that type of prestige level, programs like that don't need guys to let's hold down the ship and make sure we're not embarrassing. Like, no.
Well, isn't that what Mac Brown's doing at North Carolina right now?
No.
Okay.
North Carolina had one of their best seasons ever under Mac Brown.
Well, no, I'm just saying he's not an offensive genius. He's not a defensive savant. He's just I know how to run a program and motivate guys and keep it simple.
And they got a really good quarterback because we told him he was too short. No, and they had one of their best seasons. And I mean, you make a great point. Yes and no. North Carolina athletics is kind of similar to Tennessee athletics.
Just flip the sports.
But North Carolina football is is two tiers below Tennessee football.
Yeah, historically. Yeah.
And so, yes, it does make sense for teams like that to say, we can get Mac Brown. He'll be. It was like us hiring Rick Barnes in basketball.
Agree, 100%.
It was like us saying, we're not a basketball blue blood. We can't go steal any of the top five or six coaches. Rick Barnes is available, though. He'll at least,
He'll steady the ship.
We've had a complete cluster after Bruce Pearl the weirdness of the concept. Martin and Donnie Tindall was a train wreck. So, let's just get Rick Barnes and stabilize the program. That's what North Carolina did in football. But, yeah, they're inverted.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina basketball is like Tennessee football. And Tennessee basketball is like North Carolina
football. Yeah, North Carolina basketball needed a coach. They just go and steal Roy Williams from Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the top four programs all time.
Yeah, that'd be like us stealing,
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's from here or whatever, you know. But we don't have any coaches that came to Tennessee with Phil Fulmer that are
maybe
at anywhere.
Fulmer probably thinks that Doug Marrone is one of those
Kevin Steele,
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Actually, Oklahoma's probably not even good enough. It would probably – it'd really be more like stealing – it would have been like stealing Urban Meyer back from Ohio State. Like top four programs.
Chris
all
Peterson
time.
From Washington, something like that. Oh no, because what? I mean,
yeah,
Washington.
Yeah, I mean, no, like, no, I mean, who? You know. Oh goodness.
Doug Marrone.
Goodness gracious.
That's the play.
Hmm.
I mean, look, I'm not gonna sit here and say that if we hire Doug Marrone, I'm gonna, you know, sheep it up. I will look for the positives. You could do so much better. You could do so much better. And if they hire Doug Marrone, like I said, I'm going to wish him well. I'm going to be optimistic, keep an open mind, grade him on what I see.
Yeah.
But there are easier options available and better options available. All you got to do is make a phone call.
I went to NCAA.com, pulled up the stats. Total offense, I sorted it by yards per play because I don't want any of this. Well, this team ran a gazillion more plays than everybody else, whatever, whatever. Yards per play. So when these teams line up, they churn out more yards
per play
than any other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an interesting list to me. And what I would be trying to do is get a guy that's run one of these entire programs,
mm-hmm,
who is in charge of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
BYU is number one. Alabama, North Carolina, Kent State, Western Michigan, Buffalo, Ohio State, Florida, Arizona State, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Oregon, Liberty, Coastal Carolina. I just went through four guys that would come here,
mm-hmm,
that are on that list. Clemson was next. Like, it's a who's who,
yep,
of teams that play for championships nationally, teams that play for championships in their league, and coaches. And you're lucky that four of the guys on that list would come here.
No, that's pretty amazing, really. I mean, you're in a position where four of the top 14 coaches of yards per play would crawl on broken glass. Because obviously you're not gonna get Nick Saban. Texas did go get his offensive coordinator, though. So Texas went and at least got somebody, mm-hmm, who ran the offense.
Right, and he's been a head coach before.
Right, exactly. We've been saying it for months now. Like, it's never been easier.
Cincinnati, Virginia Tech, Texas were the next teams. The Texas Longhorns had one of the top 25 best offenses per play, and they fired their coach because it wasn't good enough. Because guess what? They consider themselves a top 10 program. I mean, we don't even act like it. So maybe I shouldn't be surprised we're going to hire Doug Marrone because we don't act like we believe we're a top 10 program in anything at all anyway.
Hmm.
We've just lowered the standards here to an embarrassment level. We are embarrassing.
Hmm.
It makes me sick. Let's hit a break. Come back with more. Stick with us. Hour two continues right here on 3 and Out. This segment of the program brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Unlike the Vols, they won't let you down. Service is impeccable. They've got you covered for all your banking needs. The official credit union of 3 and Out, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Winners win, and they win for you every single day with their customer service. Attention to detail like no other. Head on over to tvacreditunion.com and become a member and start taking advantage of all they have to offer today.
You doing all right over there?
Mm-mm.
Nope. Why? You find something?
No. I'm just reading the Twitter reaction. David says, "We are working harder to suck. We have layups right in front of us, but mm-hmm, we are searching through the weeds to find the suck." Brandon says he really believes North Carolina will win the ACC next season.
Mm-hmm.
Big Josh says we need to focus on in-state recruiting like Mac Brown. He's locked down North Carolina. It's going to lead to success for them.
I don't disagree with that.
Chris says, "What was the one thing that Fulmer was known for as a head coach? Is he had really good coordinators, and mm-hmm. then when they left, he was a really bad head coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, he always had Chavis, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, Cutcliffe left, and you struggled the next 2 years, really good in 2001. Then the downhill slide started, so then Cutcliffe comes back in 2006, I believe. Mm-hmm. 2006, 2007, two really good years. He leaves, bringing David Clawson, and Fulmer gets fired. Doug Marone.
So you're saying when we had an offense with a guy that knew what he was doing and was calling the right plays, that was when we were at our best?
Yeah.
Well,
a quarterback guru.
If you hired Hugh Freeze, you wouldn't have to worry about it if your offensive coordinator left you.
True.
Yep.
Same for Lane Kiffin.
Yep. Yep.
Jamie Chadwell. Oh, wow. Three guys that I think are at the top of most people's list.
Mm-hmm.
And David wants to know, if they name Steele as interim coach for a year, does that mean we get to do a coaching search for 365 days? Rumors all damn year of coaches being talked to.
And could be kind of fun.
That might be too much.
And then you know what would happen, though?
What?
They'd just promote Steele permanently.
Yep, yeah. Yep. It'd be the Ed Orgeron at USC. Like, ah, you know what? He did it. And LSU. Nope, he just did a really good job. We're going to give him the reins. Doug Marone offenses in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Do you want yards or points? Ranking.
Give me yards first.
Okay. As the offensive coordinator in New Orleans from 2006 to 2008, they were first, 14th, third in yards. Then he went to Buffalo for 2 years. They were 16th in yards and 14th. Jacksonville in 2016, 11th. 2017, they were second. And the last 3 years in Jacksonville, 22nd, 24th, 31st. They were number one in points in 2008 when he was at New Orleans. They were number five in points in 2017 at Jacksonville. Fifth also in 2006 in New Orleans. Everything else is 12 or lower. 30th in points this last season in Jacksonville.
Checks out.
Mm-hmm. 2017, they had the number one rushing offense in the NFL in Jacksonville.
It's because they had the boat.
I love how the same people that will say, well, Jamie Chadwell's only had one good year at Coastal, are the same people that will be like, but we should go with Doug Marone.
Because he's had
one good year in the history of his entire coaching career. Whereas you look at Chadwell everywhere he goes, pretty much in year two, like they're on it, if not year one. I mean, you can usually just tell. There are a few coaches. You kind of talk about football and basketball. There are a few coaches where they're just kind of out of the gate. They need like some experience before it kind of clicks. I think of Coach K at Duke. I mean, he was about to get fired, and then all of a sudden mm-hmm. he just figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
But usually those things happen very early, you know. And a lot of times when the guy's pretty young, when they have failure and then kind of figure it out and turn it around, it just. A guy just usually is who he is, you know? I mean, if
a tiger doesn't change his stripes,
right, yeah.
So to speak.
If Doug Marone had rebuilt Syracuse and won pretty big there.
He did go 8-5 twice.
And then just kind of struggled at one stop in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
then I don't know. But to have that much data on the guy and just not.
And think it. Looks good.
I mean, even if his Jacksonville time was just more like, you know, Jeff Fisher-esque, you know, 8-8, 7-9, 9-7. But to be like one of the worst consistently in the NFL, I just don't get that.
Janeway tweets in.
Was Syracuse under... And not investigation, but like working with basically one hand tied behind their back whenever Marrone came in?
Don't know.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at it. 2005, it says they – I mean, they went 1-10, but they had to vacate the one win. and then 4-8, and Greg Robinson, whoever that is, like, he just didn't do well. But then they brought in Marrone. So I don't know if, like, this whole idea is –
I think that means they were 2-10. 2005. But anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter. No, maybe not.
No, because
the next one says 4. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did Janeway?
Janeway tweets in and says, "I don't want Marrone, but does he meddle and override his coordinators? If not, it would at least be better than what we have. Who's a good offensive coordinator he could go get to pair with Steele?" Lane Kiffin.
They just keep Jim Chaney.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
why pay him the buyout? Just keep him for another year, then go from there. I mean, if they're going for Doug Marrone, they're not really that intense on winning. Why spend more money to get rid of other people when we're like, Jim Chaney's pretty good. I mean, we pay him, what, $1.6 million a year? Might as well just let him see what he can do without Jeremy Pruitt micromanaging him.
Oh, here you go, Davey. In 2015, Syracuse vacated the one win from the 2005 season, among others from 2004 to 2006, following... Hang on. I just got really nervous.
No.
Following an eight-year NCAA investigation, as the NCAA found that some football players who committed academic fraud participated in the wins. So it took Syracuse 8 years to wrap up this investigation.
Wait, so would that have been whenever, what was his name, Paul Pasquani?
I don't know. Not sure. 8 years.
I mean, if it's 8 years, I'm pretty sure he was the coach back then. He was pretty good for Syracuse. I think he was, 101-59.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they vacated all the wins from 2004 also.
So that would have been his last year. So then they fired their best coach since, would have been Schwartzwalder. That was the guy who had the bus.
So, yes, to answer your question, though, Doug Marrone did take over a tough situation in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically in the NFL, you don't get hired because the guy before you did so well.
But he did.
But I know. Yeah. I know.
One in stripes spells it out for me. Pasqualoni.
Mm. Pasqualoni.
Yeah, there you go.
Nah, I like how I said it better.
Captain Touchback also said 11 years ago today, Derek Dooley hired.
Oh my God.
At the University of Tennessee.
Oh.
Pretty cool. They fired Pruitt on the same day.
I mean, that's.
Is January 15th just our...
I mean, that's really when it died.
Our day?
That's really when it died.
Day.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, theoretically, if you'd just kind of gone out and recruited somebody that was, good or even just pretty good after Lane Kiffin, you keep the, Tennessee is a good program trend rolling.
Yeah, but we got nervous and blew it. That year, we should have just named an interim because it happened so late and 100%. Should have just...
Yeah, I mean,
interim coach.
I don't know. It didn't. Yeah, you could have done that. You could have just.
Kippy Brown should have just done it, but instead you brought in Dooley. Then he either fired Kippy or Kippy left. I can't remember. That's 100% what we should have done. Chase tweets in and says, "Why all the talk on Doug Marrone this morning? Is he a serious candidate? I know he's been mentioned, but I never thought he was actually high on the board." Rumors suggest that Doug Marrone is a candidate, yes. Should we make a move? Doug Marrone.
The headlining hires from 2009 into 2010, Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin, of course, USC,
mm-hmm.
Jimbo Fisher, Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out.
That did work out.
And Derek Dooley. Athlon did a, revisit in 2015, looking 5 years back.
Kevin Sumlin's looking for work.
Nope. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Absolutely not.
How cool would it be if they actually like went out and got somebody who never coached football before? Like, let's just try that.
Like some pilot executive. He's great at selling that gasoline.
David tweets in and says Joe Brady's still available.
He's interviewing for head coaching jobs in the NFL.
I know. I'm just reading the tweet, bud. Just reading the tweet. Maybe he likes the college game. Maybe you could lure him back. Big money.
We won't call him.
Nope. Of course not. Won't even kick the tires.
Remember when we made fun of A&M for paying
right now,
so
I'd rather fire Philip Fulmer than Jeremy Pruitt. I'm at that point.
Do what now?
I would rather fire I would if you gave me the option right now, you could fire one. Philip Fulmer or Jeremy Pruitt. I think I'm leaning towards I'd rather fire Philip Fulmer.
Is that just because you don't want him to be able to make the next hire whenever that were to happen?
I don't know. I'm just tired of looking at him.
You haven't even seen him. What are you doing? He's been
he hadn't said a thing.
He's like the Wizard of Oz, man. He's been behind the curtain, pulling all the strings, making sure nothing works properly. He's been selling us cough syrup, elixir. Hey, what are you?
And doors and windows.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been doing anything.
Just collecting those checks.
You're mad because he hasn't done anything, and I'm mad too. Look at, what do you, like, look at a picture of him all the time? What does that mean?
Started thinking about him.
Yeah. He pictures him in his head. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. Hour two, three and out.
You're listening to Three and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company right here in Knoxville. Residential or commercial, they've got you covered. They're doing both my home and business right now. It's reliable pest control from general pests to termites, bed bugs, biting insects, mosquitoes. They've got you covered here in Knoxville. Give them a call, 865-591-2781, or head on over to pestcontrolknoxvilletn.com or just search for Apex Pest Control, your complete pest management company.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve the best. With over 20 years experience in car and semi-truck accident cases, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III have the expertise to handle your case and get you the money you deserve. Visit g3helpme.com to get your free legal consultation and let the G3 team put their experience to work for you. Attorney G. Turner Howard III and his staff understand exactly what you're going through. They'll handle your case, and there are no fees unless the G3 team wins for you. Don't wait a minute longer. If you're in Knoxville, Sevierville, Chattanooga, the Tri-Cities, or surrounding areas, let the G3 team go to work for you. Call the law offices of G. Turner Howard III today, 865-558-8030, or visit their website at g3helpme.com to get the legal advice and representation you need and the money you deserve. That's the law offices of G. Turner Howard III at g3helpme.com.
This winter, a day on the slopes is closer than you think. Cataloochee Ski Area is located in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, right off I-40. Cataloochee has trails open for the whole family with day, twilight, and night skiing until 10. Go to cataloochee.com to check the weather, watch the webcams of the mountain. You can even reserve lift tickets online. Rent equipment from Cataloochee Ski and Sports in Maggie Valley on your way in, or as always, just rent when you arrive. What are you waiting for? Head to cataloochee.com and hit the slopes today.
Since the 1960s, Crown Cleaners has provided imperial service for all of your dry cleaning needs. With unwavering attention to detail and customer care, Crown continues to earn the trust of yet another generation of citizens in Knoxville. They also provide free pickup and delivery of dry cleaning, laundry, and alteration services. So find a location near you at crowncleaners.com. Crown Cleaners, Knoxville's choice for dry cleaning for over 40 years.
Matlock Tire Service and Auto Repair is Knoxville's number one tire service and auto repair shop, and they want to help you get back on the road. Matlock's has been a staple in the East Tennessee community for over 65 years, and they are proud to announce their newest location in Hardin Valley. So stop in and check them out today at 10838 Hardin Valley Road. That's 10838 Hardin Valley Road. Matlock's legacy of integrity, experience, and professionalism is what sets them apart from the competition. And with locations in Farragut, Lenoir City, Maryville, Athens, and now Hardin Valley, there is a Matlock tire near you.
Thank you.
Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw for the weekend. 5% alcohol by volume. Delicious flavors. Won't weigh you down. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer. Made pure.
In search of hope. If you find any, please pass it along.
I don't know. Like
I don't either.
Like what is Doug Marrone's like gift?
His special sauce?
The special sauce. I mean,
I don't know.
He
offensive line? Maybe.
So we're gonna try and run the football again, right?
Perhaps.
Like I'm so sick of guys who the game has just passed them by. Like they just don't they can't keep up with the most effective way to attack defenses right now.
In a way, it feels like we're trying to hire the offensive version of Jeremy Pruitt.
Right. Exactly.
Which is not to say offensive savant, just a like the ideology stays the same. They just happen to be more offensive minded.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
line up and run
I thought Janeway had a point. Like, if he's a guy who can hire good coordinators and then get out of the way, that's not necessarily terrible.
Yeah, but is he going to let a guy come in
right.
that wants to go RPO and keep the play call super simple?
Yeah, is he going to do what Ed Orgeron did and finally say, you know what, we're going to give you the offense for a year and let's see what happens?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be, by God, in the NFL, we run the ball and we go play action? And that's great if you got Bama talent, right? I mean, it's fantastic. And I would imagine, you know, the RPO game, I'm sure he's familiar with it. Maybe he would. Maybe he'd make an outside-the-box OC hire.
But is he going to be that risky? See, that's the problem.
I don't know.
With these guys.
He seems risk-averse. Davey said it during the break. I think you were out of the room.
Yeah.
He is one of the most conservative coaches in the NFL. Like, he is, he's, you know...
Yeah.
Too conservative.
Right.
Right? Analytically not using the data to make the right decision, a la Mike Vrabel, in the playoffs. Janeway also tweets in that right now, Marrone is not considered one of the best at what he does. He is consistently ranked in the lower half of the 32 coaches in the NFL, not a ringing endorsement. Davey, did you say he ranked... I'm sorry.
Deadless.
Yeah. 32nd in the NFL was his ranking?
Somebody sent that in.
Yeah. And that last thing you read is a quote
from the article, right?
Yeah, from the blackandteal.com.
I don't know who said that, though.
Jags article. I mean, like, I just, that's the thing. Like, I don't, so back to kind of Tennessee, top 10 program all time, mm-hmm. blue blooded program. Do you want to just hire someone that's just going to be okay? If you're top 10 all time, or do you want to hire the most the best and the brightest, the most talented coaches in college football? I would choose the latter. I don't want Mr. Conservative that's just going to sit over there and make sure that, you know, we
isn't that
don't
what Butch Jones did? I
don't
mean,
go
right?
3-7. Yeah, like I understand why some people would think, God, this was so bad with Jeremy Pruitt. Just give us somebody that won't be. You know, won't have us that bad. But I want but if you want to win big, you have to hire people that are actually talented, not just people that check all the boxes. You have to hire people that give you an advantage mm-hmm. somewhere. You play in the most competitive conference in the country. You can't just kind of go conservative and win the games when you have better players than the other guy. Because most Saturdays, the difference in players is either small or you're behind.
Right.
There are very few teams now that you play where you are just vastly superior in the talent department mm-hmm. to. When Kentucky rolls in, when South Carolina rolls in, when Missouri rolls in, they are not Pipeball Fields, South Carolina, and Kentucky anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of the disconnect. Because, I mean, I remember even in Phil Fulmer's bad years, you know, they just find a way to beat Kentucky. They'd be down, you know, in the first quarter to Vanderbilt and then just beat them by 30. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it just,
yep.
It's not like that anymore. You better find somebody that can actually give you an advantage in building the offense, calling, like, layering play calls to keep the defense on their toes, that gives you an advantage on game day, on Saturday, and that also is a dynamic recruiter that can win some head-to-head battles with teams that you're not beating right now. That's who you should be looking for. But it's not like we do it. Like David sends me the Herman GIF, like the Herm Edwards GIF. You play to win the game. Quit worrying about the guy that checks the boxes. Quit worrying about the guy that, you know, well, he's got this on his resume and this on his – like, can the guy win football at the SEC level? There's two that can for sure.
Mm-hmm. Because they've done it.
And then there's multiple other guys that are projecting like they could – that at least have shown they have a big advantage over their, you know, their competition in their mm-hmm, conference. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of other guys that, you know, no one's talking about that have done that too. Like, this is the most loaded coaching board Tennessee could hope for after sabotaging their own program for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we're still outside. We are somehow thinking inside the box, but outside the box of the candidates we should be looking at.
Mm-hmm. David tweets in, and this is to me, like, as boiled down as it gets, hiring Marone is just lazy. It's the laziest. Mm-hmm. We know Doug Marone would take the job if offered, right?
Sure.
Other guys, you might have to pitch it to him, right? You might have to convince Chadwell of some things, right? You might have to give Lane Kiffin or Hugh Freeze some contingencies. Doug Marone would just say, thanks, Phil. Needed a job. Appreciate it. It's lazy. It's boring.
It is.
I don't want to actually have to do work. I don't want to actually have to think. I just want to hire a buddy because he'll do what I ask him to do. Well, we're going to go get Kevin Steele. We're going to get Dan Brooks' kid. They're going to do what I ask him to do. It's Vollmer hiring himself. He's going to get to pull the strings. He knows these guys will listen to him. And he gets to be the vicarious coach.
Yeah.
With input.
And maybe this is bad. Maybe I shouldn't do this comparison. But as we have built Fan Run Radio, every person that we have added to the team, some are really excited to come on board and, you know, like, we talk and it's pretty easy. Others, as we built this thing, like, had other stuff going on and you know, but no matter who it is, it doesn't matter if it's an intern. When I talk to those people about coming on board, there's a level of me pitching what we do to them. Mm-hmm. It's not just, hey, we're great. Don't you want to come be with us? Like, it's, here's what we're going to offer, you know. You come be a part of us, and you can contribute here, here, and here, but here's what we're going to try and do for you. Like, there's an element, mm-hmm. There should be an element of mutual recruiting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if
yes.
You interview somebody, they're going to tell you what they're good at.
But that's what I'm telling you. We don't want to do that.
And why they want to be on the team. And then I will tell them what, like, we hope to do for them. That's the only way you have a healthy culture where everybody's trying to help each other out, right? Like, do, you know, the people get better and get to do something they like to do, and the company, in this case, the football team, football program, you know, is improved. And sometimes you just have to take a chance and call somebody that might say, nah, man, I already know what you guys are about, and I don't want to be a part of it.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to put yourself out there, and that lazy word just kind of struck a chord with me. Sometimes you have to call. Yeah, you might call Lane Kiffin, and Lane's like, Philip, are you kidding, man? I'm not stepping into that mess. Yeah, I tweet about it. That's just to get some likes and play around with the drama, but I'm really happy at Ole Miss. You guys seem to have a few more issues. I'm just going to stay here where the expectations are a little less, and I don't have to deal with any type of scandal. And yeah, maybe that would hurt your pride a little bit if you're Philip Fulmer. But if you want to take a jump that isn't just like point A to point B, if you want to, it's like going into the game as the underdog. And you know that if we just line up and call the same crap that they call, we're going to lose. So you do something drastic, right? You pull out all the stops, as they say. Mm-hmm. You go four corners and with no shot clock in high school. That's what good coaches do in sports, and that's what good leaders should do to hire good coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, since when has Philip Fulmer taken a risk in his coaching or his leadership roles?
He did the year he sat in for Johnny that ultimately got him the job. He was like a different coach that year. He was the young, hot offensive coordinator who was faking punts and trick plays, and then he got the job, and it's just been, I did all that risky stuff, and I got it rolling. And that's what he's been ever since.
Yeah, we got the question earlier, like, why, it was kind of like, why do we revere Philip Fulmer so much? I mean, obviously, he even said in the contest, obviously won a national championship, obviously that's everything. But I do think there's a little bit of the good old days phenomenon there, because when he was in the moment and in those years where they had teams they thought you could win the SEC with and they didn't, people hated on him. Like, people are like, golly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were happy that we were one of the best programs in the country year in and year out.
Right.
But they're very upset that when every year when if he underachieved. So there is that element of back in my day, Philip Fulmer had us winning 9 games every year, which was true. But there were a lot of years where they're like, God, Phil, beat Spurrier and we're winning the SEC and playing for the Natty.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour two next. Final segment, hour number two. I don't know. Maybe we're overreacting. Maybe we'll fire through it ahead this weekend. Maybe we'll hire someone else.
I don't think we're overreacting. We're just speculating.
Yeah.
I feel like without a basketball game this week, it feels as if we've done the same show every day.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what's frustrating to me. It's like, everyone obviously is. I mean, obviously, look, we're going to watch NFL this weekend. Hopefully there's a basketball game tomorrow. There's going to be lots of stuff to talk about on Monday. But right now, people are tuning into this show because they want to know the latest. And the frustrating part for me and probably for every listener, there's no word other than, the interview was 8 hours long yesterday with Pruitt and, who knows. Maybe they'll give us the Friday evening news dump. One way or the other, we're bringing him back. We're not. Interim, Doug Marrone, Hugh Freeze. I don't know. Maybe.
If you if Tennessee news dumps the Jeremy Pruitt firing, like, that'll show how tone deaf they are. They really should try and get all the mileage they can out of that.
Mm-hmm.
The fans are going to celebrate. They're going to throw parties. I don't know. So maybe Friday morning is or Friday, right as we get done. That's typically when it happens.
Yeah, usually it's right at 10.
Yeah. That way people can.
Unless they're afraid, about who the next coach is, and they're going to be like, Pruitt out, Steele in, see you. Marrone in, see you.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's maybe this investigation has just made, communication with the fan base impossible. Mm-hmm. I get that. I understand that Philip Fulmer probably doesn't want to be at a press conference answering questions about an ongoing investigation because he wouldn't be able to, right? It'd just be, it's an ongoing investigation. I can't talk about that. And obviously, right now, with the uncertainty, he's not going to say, well, if it's really bad, we're going to fire Pruitt. And if it's not, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Without also telling everyone how bad it is. So I guess, yeah, they're going to wait for the conclusion of this investigation, make a decision, and then it'll just be like drinking from a fire hose all at once. Here's what we found. Here's what we're doing. Interim coach for a year. Interim coach until we find another coach. Or here's the next guy.
If we have an interim coach, I'm for the whole season, I just don't understand why anyone would think that's a good idea. Like,
you just
squandered an opportunity to hire guys. Like, there's
they'll think it's a good idea because they don't want to take the risk on a Chadwell, a Freeze, a Kiffin, and no one else wants the job, so they're going to go interim and see if they can calm things down. That's my guess. Try to quiet the noise around the program. See if you can't just slide, which is really, really stupid. I mean, we're talking about, Arizona firing Sumlin and saying we had to because we can't afford to keep him. Mm-hmm. Auburn paying $20 million to Gus Malzahn and his staff. South Carolina, like they have all at least recognized bringing back a failed head coach is a horrible idea after you've already lost all this money. You have to generate excitement, and hopefully that will lead to ticket sales for at least the next year, where Tennessee is thinking, oh gosh, we're going to pay him so much if we fire him. How can we save that money? It's classic Tennessee. Yep. It's the safest, easiest, most boring way to try to save face. That's what they do. That's what they've done.
So frustrating. Like, I just...
There's no imagination.
Yeah, that's the... it does go back to the fact that Philip Fulmer thought you could just keep a guy after going 3-7 in year three, and then that was going to work. That was going to be okay. It's unbelievable how poor of a job he's done as athletic director. And I don't know about, the Lady Vols thing was a hot topic last night. I don't know what Kelly Holly Jarper.
Kelly Holly Jarper? Jolly Harper.
Jolly Harper. I don't know how she'll turn out to do here, but it was really bad timing for Philip Fulmer for her to have a game where her team,
lost because of coaching.
Right. Yeah. And, and a lot of people are saying they don't play hard. They don't do this. And then who knows? I haven't watched them enough to give.
Well, and no basketball game this week. Like, if we'd have played Vanderbilt on Tuesday or South Carolina on Wednesday, we'd probably stomp them. And everyone's, excited about basketball. It was a bad week for Philip Fulmer. As the investigation is closing out and it's Pruitt's time, there was nothing to distract anybody this week, which actually might be a good thing. Right? Like, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe that means more pressure. Maybe it's good that everyone's focused on this and only this. Because everyone's seeing just how dumb this entire investigation / coaching debacle really is. Brutal.
Yeah. Phil Fulmer's just building a power ranking list of dumb decisions right now.
Assuming it's Fulmer, yeah.
The Jeremy Pruitt. Well, no, I just mean the Jeremy Pruitt extension is probably number one. And then you're just going down the list. Like, the Jeremy Pruitt hire is obviously a thing. I don't know. Tennessee lost that game at home last night. Lady Vol in women's basketball. Georgia wasn't even ranked. Like, it was the first time they won here since 1996. The thing just keeps on falling apart. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour three. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio.